Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. As always, I am your host, Neil Horwitz, and you can follow me on Twitter at NJH287, as well as on LinkedIn, and hit up the website at dsmsports.net. Really special episode for you today. A throwback, but a throwback that's 5 years in the making. The Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast just in late August celebrated the five-year anniversary. Really cool, and just cannot express enough gratitude for all the fine folks that have come on this podcast over the years, and for anyone that has listened to it, whether one episode or all 120 plus episodes. It's a labor of love for me, and the opportunity to speak to so many smart people in the space is plenty payment for me, and I look forward to five more years, and we'll be talking to you for the 10th year anniversary. So for today's episode, we're gonna throw back to the very first Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast, and it kicked off pretty well. I was encouraged to keep going because I had a tremendous first guest. I was able to speak with, and you're going to hear that today, with Brian Srabian, the Director of Social Media, now VP of Digital or Social Media, I'm not exactly sure what his title is, of the San Francisco Giants at Major League Baseball. They were quite a dynasty when I was speaking to him, coming off a world championship, so you'll hear that reference. And the Social Cafe had just launched at AT&T Park. You know, it was a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram world. This is pre-Snapchat. But some really interesting principles that were that Brian spoke to that still definitely reign true today. So give it a listen. There was a couple little audio things, but only for 5 or 10 seconds where you can't quite make out what he's saying here and there. But for the most part, pretty solid audio for my first podcast. Not bad. So give it a listen as I talk to Brian Srabian, who talks all things digital and social media about the San Francisco Giants. And thank you one more time for being part of this podcast, for listening to even one episode. It's been a tremendous 5 years, and I look forward to doing much more. We'll be back with a new episode in a couple weeks. So listen up. Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Digital and Social Media and Sports Podcast. I am your host, Neil Horwitz, and I'll be taking you on a trek on a bi-weekly basis to analyze the intersection of digital and social media and sports, and especially looking at things from a business perspective. We'll have a guest who has a prominent role in social, digital media, and sports on every episode for you, and we have a fantastic first guest lined up for today's episode, and that is Brian Srabian, the Director of Social Media for the San Francisco Giants, the reigning World Series champions in Major League Baseball. So we'll get to Brian shortly. We have a packed show for you. We'll have a helpful tool to share. Then we'll transition to our interview with Brian. We'll have a shareable stat for the podcast that can help you learn a little more. And then we'll bring back Brian for what we're calling our 9-pitch inning today, some quick-hitting questions with Brian Srabian. But to start off, let's look at this week's helpful tool. So with the growth of Instagram, and it's of course growing more every day, and it gets a ton of engagement, especially in sports, we are looking at a tool that will help you look at some of the metrics behind Instagram. Some of you may already be tracking data with some of your own metrics tools, Raven Tools. There's other third-party software out there that track everything from Twitter to Facebook to Instagram. But if you're not using anything right now, what you should definitely check out if you haven't already are a couple of free websites. My favorite is called Statigram. It's Statigr.am. You can also just Google Statigram and you'll find the website. And this website's very powerful, and it's free, which is always good. You can sign in with your Instagram account or your team's Instagram account or your organization's account and instantly get access to tons of awesome free stats, view all your photos and engagements, and look at the growth of your account, which photos are getting the most engagement, It'll even give you times a day that it recommends you post, days of the week that are getting the best engagement, tracking growth in your account over time, growth in engagement over time, your most engaged users, who's commenting the most, who's liking your photos the most, even the filters that you're using the most. You can also track other users, as well as comments on your photos. You can comment back. And another cool thing is you can track hashtags. So if you're running a contest, if you're tracking your team's hashtag, a sponsor, a promotional hashtag, this is a great place where you just type in that hashtag, and you can get all the photos that have been uploaded to Instagram ever delivered right to you, and you can look at them in chronological order. And this is just a great way to monitor not just your account's growth and engagement, but also the various tags that you're following, whether it's your own team, competition, or like I said, special promotions and sponsors. So check out Statagram today and you will thank me later. Another substitute for Statagram is a website called Webstagram. It works in a similar way, but it does require an account sign up. But yeah, check both of them out and you can learn a lot about your team's Instagram account today. So with that, we will transition to our interview with Brian Sarabian. That was a look at Webstagram and Statagram, two helpful tools for tracking your Instagram analytics and statistics. Our next guest will be happy to know that the Giants, who have just shy of 300,000 followers on Instagram, it looks like, actually have the hashtag SFGiants being used. Well, actually, let's let him guess. Our guest right now is the director of social media for your reigning World Series champion, San Francisco Giants. Welcome, Brian Sarabian.
Thank you for having me.
Brian, would you care to guess, according to Statagram at this moment, how many photos have been tagged with SF Giants hashtag?
Okay. I've seen this before. Oh, gosh. I'm going to say 1.2 million. I have no idea.
The current count is just shy of 736,000.
I was only off by 500,000. All right, we'll boost that up tonight. That's part of my job, so let's get that going.
Let's see the Giants reach a million by the end of the season. How about that?
That would be awesome. Let's do it.
Well, Brian, it's a pleasure to have you. It's not every day we get to talk to someone who works for a World Series champion. Major League Baseball, the Giants, of course, are very popular. Not to be confused with the New York Football Giants. So let's just start out. Let's talk about how you got involved with the San Francisco Giants, a little about your career path, and how you eventually rose to be director of social media there.
Thanks, Neil, for having me, of course. You know, I get the question a lot of how did you get your start and what advice would you give me? And I think, in the old days, internships were really one of the great ways to get in, and I was lucky enough to get an internship with the Giants while I was in college. And I thought that internship was the greatest job ever. I was in the media relations department. I was working at Candlestick Park for my favorite team. I was still in college, but I had finished most of my coursework, so I was getting course credit, and I thought maybe that was it. I'd have my 1 year with the Giants, and I could say I did that and move on to the real world. I wanted to work in sports, though, and as it turned out, it opened up a full-time job for me in the sponsorship department, and so basically having an internship allowed me to kind of learn a lot about the organization, learn about sports from the inside. It also, I took it very seriously, and it's a 6 month interview process essentially, because your job is, well, it's actually more of 9 months working there, and I always felt that my work was a way to connect with other people and they get to know you. And long story short, I was with the Giants all the way for about 12-13 years, I guess it was, moving my way up the ladder, always thinking that, boy, this is it, maybe I'll go do something else. I didn't really have a plan per se, but it just kept working out for me. And I enjoyed what I did. I just kept finding new creative ways to help the organization, and they were good enough to allow me to grow. I left the Giants, though, in 2008, and then in 2010, in January of 2010, I've got to be very clear about this, that's when the Giants called and said, we're looking to hire someone in social media, but they weren't quite sure, you know, should they hire an agency, should they promote an intern, is it a new position? And that's when I kind of took that opportunity to, marketing was more of my background, but I had the last year or so of that, I was focused on social media, so I thought this was a great transition for me, and I sold them on it. And to me, you know, the key components for me was the fact that I knew the Giants well, I was a fan, I knew the internal departments really well, and I could develop a strategy that, you know, reflected that. And the most important element I felt was the fact that I knew the Giants fan base really well. And essentially, social media is the voice of your brand, and you'll be connecting, conversing, listening, replying, responding, retweeting to your fans. And so having that connection and being able to communicate to upper management on, you know, key issues, being able to talk to the ticket office, talk to your community relations department, and communicate all of these ideas in a way that, you know, works well with the social media audience was a key factor for me. So my first thing that I did was kind of do it. I did an internal audit, and realized there were several Twitter handles that were being used by different departments, several Facebook pages, and we just kind of started from scratch. I developed the voice of the brand, and I got everyone to buy in. I didn't want to come in and say, this is how we're going to do it. I wanted to talk to everybody first, threw out all the ideas, and then presented it and said, this is what I think we should do. And through time, we, you know, evolved and did some different things, but for the most part, it was mostly by design. And we, you know, continued to grow at that time, and we didn't have as many followers as we do now, obviously, and it was a huge growth spurt for us that year, and then, you know, late August, September, we started to make a serious run at the postseason, which led to our first World Series title in San Francisco, so that was really exciting, and I felt that it was, you know, perfect timing, since we had the majority of our social media plans, again, it was mostly Twitter and Facebook at the time, but, you know, then we saw this huge kind of momentum going to the next season in 2011, and then obviously 2012, and social media continues to grow throughout all of sports, specifically in Major League Baseball, so it's been a real, I've got to say, like, the last three years of my career have been just a highlight for me. It's been fantastic with the Giants winning. It's been, you know, even more amazing for me to kind of see my career take off with social media and how much I've enjoyed learning from so many great people and companies and just being at the right place at the right time.
Oh, very cool. It sounds like almost from day one there was definitely a buy-in from all the departments. And early on, when people didn't really know what the heck Twitter was and barely knew about the having a fan page on Facebook, how did you get that initial buy-in? What was the pitch to each department?
Well, I mean, I think you have to take a step back. And the first, you know, and I remember reading this, that, you know, there were the number one kind of challenge for many social media professionals was getting buy-in from your executives and your, you know, the top of the chain. And there was, you know, the Giants said, hey, we know we need to do social media. We're in San Francisco. Twitter is just down the street from us. Facebook is down the road. And we need to do this because our clients, our customers, our fans are all very, people running here. We need to be involved in this. We just don't know how. So that was one advantage that I have. And, you know, the internal buy-in wasn't, you know, across the board, but I think I just started by, you know, doing what I felt was best for the fans and figuring out different tactics and and also, you know, creating that strategy that, you know, allowed us to listen to fans, allowed us to connect with fans. And at the time, it was, you know, it was simple things. It was, you know, being the first ones to post the starting lineups on Twitter, and, you know, taking photos behind the scenes, and, you know, stuff that happens just all across the way. But back then, it was kind of, okay, we hadn't done this before. And then when we started to reply to fans and actually answer questions and have some fun with the Twitter account, that's when we saw a huge growth. And it really, I think, did well with making social media. It seemed different because it was the first time that we were actually having these conversations and in real time, and it allowed a really unique connection with our fan base. So from there, you know, the growth and everyone starting to see how well we were doing, other departments would also buy in, and when they saw how social media could help them achieve, you know, permanent goals or get mentors to, you know, that help them out, it was a gradual process, but it was definitely something that, you know, started from one point and kept growing and gaining momentum as the seasons went on.
Oh, very true. I think definitely as every department probably saw, wow, we really are connecting with the fans. And at the end of the day, that's what everyone is trying to do, is connect with the fans from their perspective, whether it be for tickets, for sponsors, for merch. It's all about connecting with fans, like you were saying. And I think once that light bulb went off, it seemed to spur action right away. So to transition from that a little bit, what would you say is the general philosophy from up top or throughout the whole organization for the Giants on social media? If you guys had to define, this is what our social media is all about, this is what we're trying to accomplish, how would you sort of make that mission statement, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I think first of all, it's, you know, our social media is simply a channel. They're tools that, you know, reflect what the team's, you know, message points are. So, you know, that's the first thing, is that our social media is part of, you know, when we're marketing, you know, we're obviously on television and radio and digital, and we're using social media as well. It's simply we're not doing anything separate on social media. Everything has to be in sync. I think the other part of it is, you know, so it's always going to be a branded first, and the idea is that we're always going to put the fans first. So we want our fans to have all the information they need, when they need it. We want to be able to listen to our fans, and I'm taking all of that, you know, answering some tweets, answering some Facebook messages, but by and large getting, you know, a total assessment of, you know, what do fans think of a certain player, what are their thoughts on the team, how are we balancing, you know, ticket pricing versus events and the promotion items, do they like them? Taking that information, and we're able to use that as market research. But overall, I think, you know, it's to have a plan, but to also be very nimble and innovative in it as well. And everything that we do in social media, I think, has been a credit to the organization embracing it, but more of a credit to our fans for really, you know, following their lead, and the fact that, you know, we don't get to do any of this, we let the fans stop, and that really has been our number one, you know, criteria, is having, you know, very connected and very engaged fan base.
Some fantastic insights there. I mean, couple things that really stood out to me were your articulation of the brand consistency and how important that really is, that the messages that are being conveyed on TV ads, on radio ads, on the website is consistent with the voice on social media, I think is so huge, and why it's important that it's not just another college intern that's doing your tweets and your Facebook posts and all of that, all of those things. The other thing that really stood out was how you talk about learning from all your interactions with fans, and I'm sure it's you more so than any other department that is internalizing all these things. Oh, the fans are talking a lot about this player. This is a pressure point for the fans now, or the dynamic ticket prices or whatnot. And how do you go about passing those insights on to the rest of the departments and organization, and or do they come to you, and how does that communication work?
In place, I think if we have a big event where there's an area of concern, you know, in terms of we're releasing, you know, our promotion schedule ahead of time. And so, you know, we'll have a strategy in place of, you know, what the release date is, how do we release it, and obviously I'll be very connected to the channels to see what people are saying. You know, I'm on Reddit, I'm on Twitter a lot, I'm reading blogs, I'm kind of getting a grasp of the overall sentiment, and, you know, I might choose one or two comments to kind of reflect a certain way. I might obviously, if there's any questions or concerns, I'm going to be very proactive in replying and engaging with fans. But you know, if there's a game tonight, for example, and a fan has something of interest to say, or a question that I don't know how to answer, I'll be the one that, you know, looks at that and talks to our ticketing office or talks to our sponsorship office. And, you know, it might be, the question might be, why are the Giants wearing orange billed hats tonight? Where can I get, you know, where can I buy this bobblehead? Or is it for sale? Is it only for sale through the, you know, through the giveaway? You get all kinds of questions. Obviously, the ones I'm not answering are tied to the team. Why is Brandon Belt batting third and not sixth? And things of that nature that, you know, are great conversations. And don't get me wrong. We want those, but I, in no way am I defending, you know, what goes on the field, or trying to you know, pretend I'm a, you know, I have insight on the, you know, front office or any of that nature. I focus mostly on the fan experience, but also very interested in what, you know, and 90% of what the fans are talking about is related to the field. So it's a lot of listening. It's some reporting. It's some answering questions, but for the most part, it's, you know, being nimble and able to also react if anything interesting goes on throughout the game.
So you're telling me if a fan tweets at SF Giants during the game suggesting that Bochy make a pinch hit or change the pitcher, that you don't relay that message to the field?
Well, Bochy does have an iPad, and so he at times, no one knows this, he has an alias Twitter account, so you can go it is going in a direction where I can see, you know, especially baseball, there's just so many decisions and there's so many strategic moves, especially late in the game, that it's just fascinating to see fans' reactions, both good and bad, to see, you know, oh, I would have done this, or what's going on here, and when it works out well, you know, people are quick to praise. When it doesn't work out, they're quick to judge. But, you know, that's baseball, and that's a great part of the game, is that there's just so many, you know, there's so many decisions to be made throughout a game that affect the game. It's not, and it's usually, it comes down to one or two plays at the end that make a bigger impact on the final score, but, you know, the impacts of the game are made throughout. So, that's the part I find fascinating, is the real-time reactions with thousands of fans, you know, on Twitter and on various social channels, and we're always, it's very interested in seeing that. That's, you know, we'll talk about the cafe in a little bit, but, you know, the fan engagement, the social chatter is becoming a part of our pastime.
Oh, very much so. I mean, it definitely blows your mind to see how emotionally engaged the fans really are and how much they do really put into every single decision, every pitch, every inning. So I think that you definitely have seen that with the Giants over the years, even in your time there, of seeing the growth, seeing the engagement, and I'm sure at first, at least, the seeing the likes grow, seeing the size of the page grow, the followers grow, the retweets grow, web traffic and all that. There was a lot of excitement early on with these so-called soft metrics, I guess you could say. But the big buzz term the last couple of years has been, What's our ROI? What are we getting out of social media? How can we monetize social media? Has that been an increasing theme in your time there, and how is that sort of coming into play now?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, yeah, of course it is. I mean, that's part of the industry that we're in. The main conversation has been dictated from a sponsor. especially with, you know, a very active, I mean, that's why they want to get connected with fans in the or with sports teams in the first place, because they have such a loyal, passionate fan base. You take that another level to social media, and you've got, you know, sponsors that really want to get, you know, involved with a team's social media community because they're so engaged. So there's a huge opportunity there, and I think we're just scratching the surface with that. You know, on the sales side or ticketing side, I think even more valuable than, you know, the ROI is the data. And, you know, that's not really my forte, but I'm learning a lot. And, you know, we're starting to kind of get, taking the steps of, you know, scraping social data and using, you know, our CRM system. And I don't want to get all techie on here, but yeah, there's a lot of information. There's obviously, we want to find ways to better service our season ticket holders. We want to get smarter about ticket pricing and the types of packages or types of promotions that we do put out there. All that is related, obviously, to ROI. Maybe not a direct sale, but I think it obviously has a huge impact on the connection with our fans and the way we operate and do business. And then, sure, at the end of the day, we're selling merchandise. We're selling tickets, and there's sponsorship revenue to be made too. So all that being said, then base of fans that stay active in social media, and from there, you know, figure out, okay, now we can, you know, take advantage of this sponsored promotion because it's already got some funnel sponsored people over here or put their name attached to it there, or vice versa, bring a sponsor and help them promote something to our fans that makes sense.
All right, I definitely agree with all that, very much so. I think a lot of it, too, is, like you said, some of it is very measurable with a specific promotion, with a specific sponsorship agreement, but at the same time, too, it's how do you put an ROI number on a fan sending an Instagram post to all their followers at a game saying, I'm having so much fun at the Giants game. It's great for you guys to have that message being put out there, but it's hard to stick a number on that.
Yeah, no, and I think we're, you know, each team, each market's a little different how they approach social media, but you know, I mean, I guess one could argue, you know, do we measure all the marketing assets individually, you know? Are we measuring TV and radio and how well that does individually, or do we, you know, throw it all in as our marketing budgets, you know, bring X ROI percentage, and does social media fit into that, you know? Things that we do individually, you know, our public relations, is that, you know, that's serving a service. Is that an ROI specific? I don't know. So I don't think it's a black and white question. There's a lot of gray in there, and I think we're still you know, figuring out, but at the same time, you know, the numbers aren't dictated by that either, so it's given us, you know, the ability to kind of learn and grow and evolve in different ways.
And speaking of evolving and social media ROI and sponsorship, let's talk a little bit about maybe your baby there, or something that you've played a big role in and is making big news in social media and sports, and that's the Social Media Cafe, recently opened at AT&T Park, where it's basically a social media hub for all things San Francisco Giants and a place to get a cup of Joe. But I'll let you talk about what the cafe is and sort of how it was formed and how you guys sold the idea to upper management.
It's near and dear to my heart. We were doing I thought there was a huge opportunity in the ballpark to bring our fans together in the social community. If you were tweeting, if you're posting a picture on Instagram, you know, here's a spot that you can come together to kind of see your tweets and your pictures, but also other fans, other people in the media, see what's trending, see what's buzzing around the ballpark, and even what's going on outside. Obviously, there's a lot of chatter outside. It was exciting to just get it built off the ground, and selling it to management wasn't that difficult. because they all thought it was a great idea and understood that this is, you know, a trend that continues to grow and wanted to be in front of that instead of behind it. So it was exciting to kind of see it, you know, happen. It obviously, it continues to, you know, evolve. Which is great. We have some small. Obviously, Pete's Coffee is involved from the beginning. We have a number of other sponsors that want, you know, to take advantage of it in other ways, and so we're learning from that too. I think that's the exciting part for us, is that we knew once we put it up and we opened it, we would, you know, have fans take a look at it and say that we thought it was designed for, but also, you know, learn from that as well to figure out what the next direction is. So it's been really exciting. It's only been open for, you know, less than 2 months. We've already, you know, received a lot of great publicity. We've signed, as I mentioned, Jive Software as a title sponsor. And, you know, we continue to get a lot of, you know, real interesting feedback from fans, and there's a lot of interest, and we think that, you know, it's just the beginning.
So when you're talking to your superiors and your colleagues, and they're asking you how's the cafe doing, or, you know, is it meeting expectations, or what are some of the performance indicators that you guys are looking at game to game to track the success, the growth, the engagement of the cafe?
You know, in the beginning, I wanted to make sure that, you know, establish those metrics and those benchmarks. We weren't really sure, you know, were we looking for a higher engagement rate? Were we looking for a way to, you know, increase followers, to increase, you know, hashtag use? There was a lot of different ideas, but I think mostly, you know, the number one goal was to really enhance the fan experience at the ballpark. And sometimes that's a hard number to put down, so it's been a lot of observing, talking to fans. Obviously, all the media exposure is worth a lot. We take pride in the, you know, the fact that night after night, AT&T Park is sold out. You know, we have 40,000 fans every game coming, and, you know, the team obviously is not doing as well as we thought it would this year and hoped, but they're still very passionate. There's still a lot of excitement around the park, and it's a baseball field, you know, and there's a lot of things going on in that, and, you know, we're capturing all of that conversation in the cafe. So from there, I think we're very happy with, you know, the initial rollout of it. But with that being said, you know, we're already planning for 2014 and trying to, you know, to continue to that momentum and improving upon what we started.
Is there anything you can tease along the way? Are you getting a lot of interest from other sponsors wanting to be involved? Is there more of a data capture piece coming in the future? What's sort of your big grander vision if there is one for season. The cafe for next?
Well, you know, I mean, to be honest, first of all, right now, we just started with, you know, focusing on Twitter and Instagram. So you're going to see a lot of tweets and a lot of Instagram pictures, but we want to build upon that. I mean, we want to involve Facebook in there. You know, the day this was, the grand opening was like 1 or 2 days before, or after, I should say, the Instagram announced video. So, you know, and we didn't even have a chance to get Vine in there. So I think, you know, we'd love to somehow work and get, you know, Vine and Instagram videos involved in there. The check-in functionality, you know, we receive a huge number of check-ins, and we want to continue to grow that. At the ballpark app, which is part of MLB.com's initiative. There's going to be more customizations with that in our ballpark. We want to integrate that. We want to improve the data capturing as well. And I know that was a big deal at the C conference this week. I was catching up with some colleagues about that. So I think that's all in the future. I don't know if it's the immediate future or where, but there's a lot of opportunities, and there's a lot of sponsors and vendors knocking on our door, and it's in some ways it's, you know, it makes our job easier to have all these decisions and choices, and in other ways it's really difficult because you're trying to guess what's next, and you know, you can't do everything. You got to focus on a few things and try to make that, you know, optimize that. So but it'll be a nice challenge to have to keep this fresh and keep fans, you know, wanting to come back to the cafe.
Definitely very important lesson there. Stick to what you're good at and get really good at it. Is a lot of that technology that's helping to curate all that content, is that in-house, or are you guys using a third-party software?
We have a local agent which helped design both the exterior and, you know, the software components. We're looking to perhaps work with a third party on a more advanced and even deeper analytics and capturing more data. We've been talking to some other companies about that. So, but for now, it's just a very, you know, simple. I say simple. I mean, I couldn't explain it to you, but they tell us it's simple because they're smart people that are Interactive did a great job with that. We'll see where we go in 2014. It's amazing though how it's, you know. We hope to open it, you know, and I think it was running about 4 weeks delay, and here we are in June, and it's like, okay, just open, and we're already talking about next year. So it just shows you how quickly you've got to really, you know, stay on top of these things and always look to improve. And before we know it, opening day, April 2014, will be here. So that's why we have to start so quickly and with that short turnaround time.
Very true. And lastly, is there anything that you guys are discussing as well to quote unquote monetize the other fans, the non 40,000 fans that can't be at every game, all those fans around the world, around the country that are diehard Giants fans but aren't necessarily at AT&T Park 81 times a year?
No, I don't know if we necessarily, you know, think about monetizing, but yeah, I mean, I think we're always going to be thinking of new ways to utilize our social media, and if it happens to be a component of ROI, then great. If it's just a fun feature or something that, you know, the next trend that our fans want, you know, I think we take the lead from our fans as well, so it's not always about what we think is, you know, going to work. It's more what do the fans want, and how can we provide it? And sometimes we come up with those ideas, and sometimes they do, so that's always fun as well.
Ah, very refreshing mindset. What do the fans want? How do we provide it? All right, well, I'll transition to the podcast shareable stat this week, and we'll be right back. All right, fantastic stuff there from Brian Sarabian, talking about the cafe and some of the philosophy and his background with the San Francisco Giants and their incredible, fantastic social media that they do there with the team. Before we come back with a little more from Brian, some fun stuff with our 9-pitch inning, we're going to get into this episode's shareable stat. Every podcast will give you a shareable statistic that you can share with all your friends and also learn a lot from that has to do with social and digital media and sports. This episode's stat comes from the SEAT 2013 conference held recently in Kansas City, which is the Sports and Entertainment Alliance and Technology. It was a great conference, tons of great knowledge shared there. You can check my Twitter feed at NJH287. I tweeted out some slide share decks I made that were sort of summarizing some of the best tweets that came through on the SEAT 2013 hashtag. But lots of great stats and knowledge and insight passed there, so I encourage you to check out some of what was learned there. But our stat comes from that conference, and it has to do with the Kansas City Chiefs and their latest adoption of technology called the Chiefs Kingdom Pass, a program for season ticket holders to manage a lot of their account and earn rewards all using a Kingdom Pass card. And the stat that I'm sharing with you is that after introducing it in 2012, they had 99% of season ticket holders adopt the paperless tickets. 99% decided they don't need all that paper being sent to them all the time, and they want to both manage their account, through the Kingdom Pass, as well as access some of the rewards and discounts and easy ways you can use the Kingdom Pass to pay for things. What does that mean for sports marketers? Well, a great deal. 99% are willing to go paperless for season ticket holders. Not only does that give you better control and a better idea of how much those tickets are being used, when they're being transferred, when they're being printed, and it helps you learn a little more about how often your attendees are attending games and transferring tickets, but even better, when they're using them to make purchases at the stadium, at the venue, with sponsors, using some of those rewards, you get a treasure trove of data to learn more about your season ticket holders, what kind of stuff they buy, what they like, what sponsors they're buying stuff from, what rewards they're choosing. Just a tip of the iceberg when it comes to learning more about fans. And clearly, with that high 99% adoption rate, fans are willing and able to opt into these things as long as you're willing to put in the time to show the value to fans and show them how easy it is to adopt. So that's our shareable stat, is if you get a chance to work with your season ticket holders, you can see that they are ready and willing to go paperless and enter into a card-based system. All right, back now with Brian Sarabian of the San Francisco Giants, the director of social media there. We are going to have now, and because we have a baseball guest, what we're calling our nine-pitch inning. Of course, when you have a nine-pitch inning, it's especially sometimes when it's Lincecum or Kane on the mound, you can have a perfect inning with three straight strikeouts. And so we're going to have our nine-pitch inning with Brian and nine quick-hitting questions for Brian Sarabian. And starting off, what is your favorite all-time San Francisco Giants-related hashtag tale?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it has to be the Rally Zito. And for those who don't know, 2012 postseason, we were playing the Cardinals in the NLCS, and we're down 3-1. It looked like the season was on the brink again after we had just gone down 0-2 to the Reds in the National League Division Series and then came back miraculously. Just looked like the Cardinals, it was their year. So, you know, that night, late at night, a fan said, you know, what the heck, Zito's pitching tomorrow, and started a hashtag Rally Zito. And then another fan said, you know, I'm on board. And then they started to take their avatars and change them to, there's all these wacky pictures of Barry Zito out there because he's such a colorful character. And then the Rally Zito, like, all day the next day was trending worldwide. I mean, it was amazing, and it was almost as if the fan momentum grew. And that night, you know, Barry Zito pitched one of the greatest games of his career, definitely as a Giant. We won that game and obviously went on to win the pennant and the World Series. And a lot of people look at that game and talk about Rally Zito as perhaps having some, and again, this is played in St. Louis. Barry's not on Twitter anymore, so it's hard to say it had a direct relation. But if you believe in, you know, cosmic karma and the power of Twitter and fandom, it was a really fun night and a fun, I had a lot of fun with it, and it continued with Rally Enchiladas for Ryan Vogelsong, Rally Kane. It just kept going all the way through. So that to me will always go down as one of the best moments of my hashtag memories.
Oh, I remember that. I remember the Rally Zito very well, and it's so cool to see an organic fan hashtag like that just blow up. Let's talk about who is your favorite pro athlete who's not a member of the Giants that's active on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or whatnot, and why?
It's a great question. I have to say this, preface this, I'm not a Laker fan. I don't know, if, you know, I guess it's just in our blood to just be, you know, have Beat LA going in our stream, but you know, as a student of social media and someone who's just really changed his brand and become a semi-likable player, I have to say that Kobe Bryant, you know, really, I mean, he just joined, you know, social media recently and has done some amazing things on there. The way he tweets and uses hashtags and the way he's somewhat open and honest. Then he gets onto Instagram and does some really, you know, innovative things with his surgery and his injury. And really followed him lately, but I know that, you know, during the season last year, I was taking a lot of notes, and I teach a class in social media, and so that's one of those things that I'm going to talk about. But in baseball, I think, you know, my favorite story, and there's a lot of great stories, but it was Brandon Phillips showing up at a Little League game through Twitter, and I just think, you know, he's done some really cool stuff on Twitter. It's stories like that that I think are, you know, that I think are so great that fans can connect with players like that. The players that truly get it, get social media, will respond to it. Fans, social media, those two kind of stick out.
Definitely. And the Giants certainly have their more than their fair share of players who know what they're doing on social. So, with that being said, who is your favorite current Giants player on social media?
It's hard for me to say. I guess right now, Sergio Romo has been so great on social media, and he does a lot of fun stuff with fans, and I think he gives you a good insight. I think Hunter Pence, even though he's not as avid as I'd like, he's just so wacky and fun that, he sometimes he'll be singing. He did a Vine chat for us, which was great. He answered fans' questions via Vine. I think Jeremy Affeldt does a really great job of getting his messages across, and he takes a little different approach and focus on some of his charity work and his faith. And I think it shows that, players can be true to who they are and use social media for good. So I think we have so many great examples of guys that use social media in a positive way. It makes my job easy, so I really applaud them.
And so cool that the fans can get to know a bullpen lefty like a Jeremy Affeldt because he's active on Twitter. Otherwise, he's not necessarily your headline guy every day. So
Absolutely. Let's
talk. The Giants have done tons of social media promotions. Is there one that you'd say is your favorite, one that sticks out?
I mentioned earlier, we just had a social media night. And the social media night, many teams do, but what made this one different was the fact that we took an idea this offseason, and again, I'll talk about the NLCS last year. There was the Game 7 when we won and went to the World Series. It just started to pour. Rain came down out of nowhere, and it was just this terrible storm. But what it created was the fact that it was the ninth inning, and we were clearly going to win the game, and the players kind of turned into little leaguers, and it was almost a scene out of a movie, how the rain came down, the fans were cheering, and there's one great moment where Marco Scudero just kind of, out of Shawshank Redemption, he just raises his hands and looks up to the heavens and just, screams and smiles. And it was just an amazing moment for Giant fans. So a fan takes that and says, why don't we make a rain globe? And that idea was, tweeted out. And then a blogger wrote a long blog, McCovey Chronicles, and it became almost this kind of, underground kind of like idea of like, wow, what a great idea. And our promotion schedule had already come out, but our special events team said, why don't we, make this part of our social media night? We'll tell the story of how, in the videos on our website, it's a great story of how, how we use social media, and we used it to create this this amazing giveaway. So, to me, that was one of the more, it's fresh in my mind that there's been so many great promotions, but it's one of just the story behind it, and it's such a cool item. It's a globe that you turn upside down and actually did an Instagram contest, and the winner got to meet Marco Scudero. So it was a really fun promotion, and the fans, and it sold thousands of tickets too. So that's, you want ROI, we got ROI.
What a cool story. Let's say someone wants to work in sports and digital social media, maybe the next Brian Srabian. What advice would you give to someone who wants to work in sports and or social media?
Gosh, I get this question a lot. I try to stay, consistent, but it's always changing. I think we're getting to the point where, look, digital and social are going to, continue to grow. It's not just here to stay. I think we're going to, more teams are going to start moving in a digital way.
So that's a real opportunity. My advice to you is to get, you know, really learn how to analyze data, learn how to use Photoshop and create, you know, infographics, understand, you know, the landscape out there and create solutions to issues that we have. Okay, telling me, you know, that we're doing everything wrong, but us, there's more tickets the Giants can be doing or another team. Learn from that and learn how to communicate those ideas into real solutions. And I think more than anything, you know, we're looking for bright people. This is so new that, you know, and I know now it's starting to become coursework at universities, but there's really no social media professionals or experts out there. But there are really smart, clever people, skilled people. We're finding new ways to utilize those talents. So find a way to, whatever talent that is, and if it fits in with what, you know, we're trying to do, we can, you know, make that happen. So that's the best advice I would give you.
That's excellent advice. So let's talk. Go back to the Giants social media. The one social platform that you want to see the Giants use more from here on out in the near and short term and long term?
It's one that I don't know if it's... It's always interesting to me is Tumblr. You know, it's got a very... It's got a smaller base of fans, but they're a very active base, and it's very photo, a lot of memes, a lot of GIFs. I almost wish we had a full-time person that just worked on that. I don't know how much of an ROI or, you know, return we'd get with engagement, but it's always intrigued me, and I think it's an interesting platform. But, you know, in the future, though, I think Vine and Instagram video both have such, video in general has such potential in this space, so... you know, I'm really challenging our video guys at the Giants to understand how we can, you know, better utilize this. And we're starting to kind of create short form videos to communicate messages. So I think those are going to be two platforms or a part of platforms that we really take advantage of.
Very cool. Yeah, especially with the recent update to Instagram now where you can upload videos to share and not just have to take them on the spot.
Right.
So this might be the same answer then, but... What is the social or digital platform you think is about to blow up in sports in the near future?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think everyone's going to... I mean, you know what? To be honest with you, I really think that Facebook, it for some reason, I felt that it was kind of... I don't know if it was the stock price getting beaten down or what, but I just felt that it was... As much as everyone says they're on Facebook, there was a lot of... It wasn't the darling, at least in the media. So I think that Facebook is really poised, and they're showing that they're making a lot of changes and using hashtags, and I think they're internally making a lot of interesting decisions. I think Twitter's had a really huge impact on social television and viewing and helping with ratings, and I think Facebook wants to get involved in that as well. So I think competition is good, and I think Facebook's going to make I think they're already making some really interesting moves, and obviously using Instagram as part of Facebook and the video, I think that it's going to be something that I think has a bigger impact than it has in the past.
Very cool. You heard it here first, folks. Watch out for Facebook to make a comeback, perhaps, in the near future. Getting to the bottom of the eighth here, almost finished with Brian Sarabian, Director of Social Media of the San Francisco Giants. So besides the Giants, who of course have won two World Series very recently, which is the next pro sports team in the Bay Area that's going to take home a title?
Oh my God. Well, all right. You know, I mean, look, the Niners are on the verge of winning a Super Bowl at some point. The Golden State Warriors look really strong. I mean, they just added Andre Iguodala. Steph Curry's going to be healthy. They're going to be strong. You know what, though? I got to go with my silver and black. I think the Raiders are going to surprise and shock the world. I know they're not, but if I said the 49ers or I said the Warriors, who cares, right? I mean, they're going to win at some point. You always got to take the underdog. You always got to try to shock the world. So I'm going to say that the Oakland Raiders are going to be the next team outside of the Giants to win a world championship in the Bay Area.
Hey, that is the way to be bold and unpredictable. That's awesome. All right, bottom of the ninth. Last question here in our nine-pitch inning for Brian. Brian Srabian, how many times per day would you say people confuse you with the Giants general manager, who is Brian Srabian?
You know, it's funny. That's not as much as I used to, but it's still funny to hear people say they heard me on the radio or when they hear my name, they say I look, you know, a little bit younger. They didn't know that the social media guy also makes trades for the Giants. It's truly, a coincidence among coincidences that not only we have such a similar name, but we both work for the same team, and have worked there for so long together. And another 90 minutes of your time, tally, but it's amazing. So, I'm kind of used to it by now, and I have my one lines that I, you know, reply with, but for the most part, a lot of fans kind of think it's funny and ironic, and good thing he has a good sense of humor about it, because, you know, he might not have wanted me to be around all these years, and I don't think anyone, you know, mistakes him for Brian Srabian, let's put it that way.
Hey, if a fan wants to stop you on the street and tell you, you know, nice job picking up Ryan Vogelsong, or way to draft Buster Posey, who are you to tell them otherwise?
There you go.
All right, Brian, well, before we get out of here, let's do one last thing. I want give you a chance to give someone a shout out on whether it's a Twitter or a blog, someone in social media or in sports that you think is a great resource, someone that you like to follow.
You know, I think the Giants out with a panel discussion with some. Obviously, one of my favorite Laird, spelled Laird. I think his Twitter handle is at Sam C M Laird, and he just does a great job covering the landscape specific for sports. He's a Bay Area guy, but he's just really connected. He's a great guy, a very humble guy, but he shares a lot of great stuff on Twitter. His writing. If you're a young professional in the sports world and you want to stay, you know, connected, stay just kind of nuggets of information. He does it on a daily basis, so it's a challenging job, and I think he does a great service.
I will echo that sentiment. And then lastly, Brian, for people that want to follow you and get to know more about you and the Giants, where can they find you?
S-R-A-B-E. So follow me on Twitter if you have any questions or ask me about any trades that you think the Giants might need to make in the next few weeks.
There you go. Follow him at S-R-A-B-E. That is Brian Srabian, Director of Social Media for the San Francisco Giants. Brian, thank you so much for joining us on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thanks again to Brian Srabian, Director of Social Media for the San Francisco Giants, for sharing some great knowledge and insight there. I know I definitely learned a lot from that interview. I hope all of our listening audience did as well. Brian, very gracious with his time. Still in the middle of the season for the San Francisco Giants. Be sure to check out everything that he and the Giants are doing on social media. They are all over the place, and you can get more information on them to follow them on Twitter at SF Giants. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. Of course, they have a great website as well. So no shortage of ways to follow the Giants, and you can follow Brian, of course, as he said, on Twitter at srabe, at S-R-A-B-E. And that'll do it for the very first episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Neil Horowitz. For more information on the podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at NJH287 and check out our website at dsmsports.net. We'll come back to you in a couple of weeks with another guest from digital and social media and sports and some other great stuff for you. Hope you enjoy the first episode. Tell your friends, subscribe, all that good stuff.